A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-860-6565. That's 800-860-6565. 800-860-6565. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors. Not available in all states.
More now on the federal government's partial shutdown, now in day three. That shutdown expected to have a negligible effect on the U.S. economy, according to Oxford Economics. Although those economists say if it's resolved in a few days, that's the case, admitting a prolonged standoff could take its toll. Vice President Mike Pence continuing his trip to the Middle East, where today he addressed Israeli lawmakers and confirmed that the administration is speeding up the move of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
United States Embassy will open before the end of next year.
Pence also in his speech calling on Israel and the Palestinians to resume peace negotiations towards a two-state solution. Arab nations remain angry that the U.S. has declared that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And some Arabs in the audience did stage a vocal protest when Pence started speaking, but they were escorted out of the chamber. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
President Trump reportedly believes that Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross is falling asleep on his job, and that's literally falling asleep. Reports are that President Trump has criticized Ross for falling asleep during meetings and says he believes the 80-year-old has lost a step recently. The White House denies this report, a spokesperson saying the president has actually expanded Ross's responsibilities recently. A Republican senator says the FBI has lost 5 months' worth of messages between two FBI workers who were working on investigations into Hillary Clinton's emails and Russian meddling in last year's election. Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson saying those texts between FBI agent Peter Strzok and lawyer Lisa Page were lost because of a tech failure. Johnson saying he learned about that failure after the FBI did turn over nearly 400 other texts to the Senate Homeland Security panel. It was previously revealed that Strzok and Page did exchange anti-Trump texts. Strzok ended up being reassigned from the investigation into Russian meddling when special counsel Robert Mueller learned about those texts. And it was supposed to open last year, but then they cited technical issues for the delay. But now a new Amazon grocery store is to open today in Seattle with no cashiers or registers. Countless cameras and sensors will just scan what shoppers take and charge their accounts. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Miola with Get Healthy Hunterdon, and we're going to start the program off with a little bit of weather here today. We've got patchy drizzle and fog, cloudy with a high near 52 degrees. What a change. And they're talking about this being wintertime. Calm wind becoming southeast at around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tonight, those showers are going to finally arrive, mainly after 4 a.m., low around 39 degrees, and east wind around 6 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is a high of 90%. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch are possible.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon, Hunterdon. This is Dr. Miola from Nutrimost of Flemington, and this is Get Healthy Hunterdon. Have we got an exciting and very informative show today. We're going to be talking to John McConaughey from Brick Farm Group. Their keynote and idea is farm-to-table operations. So, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm looking across the table here, and he's brought in all kinds of great samples and stuff of the different products. Whole milk that's pasteurized, non-homogenized whole milk and stuff. Chocolate. We've got grains here that have been milled at a local milling place right across the river there in Bucks County. He's got bread and bagels and a host of other things, but we're going to have a great talk about how to really take care of yourself with the proper food that goes in. So plant-based whole food is a key concept that we use in our program and at the office, as well as the milestone and stuff and the way that you work with your program there and all. So first of all, why don't you tell the radio audience a little bit about who you are and where you came from, and then we'll get into how you arrived at what you're doing.
Sure. So I was in finance for 20 years. I spent 10 years at a place called Susquehanna in Pennsylvania, and then 10 years at Credit Suisse in New York. And then we read an article, which was an excerpt of Omnivore's Dilemma, written by Michael Pollan, where he tried to track a steer from birth to death and lost track of it somewhere in the middle of the United States. But it then got us to read the full book, which then got us down the road of maybe there's a better way to raise our food. And so somewhere along the way, we bought a piece of land. Initially started out thinking maybe we're just going to raise food to show our kids where their food came from and make it healthy for them and us. And that then evolved into a vertically integrated food system. So the idea was, as we spoke to local farmers, they had the problem of marketing and distributing, and so if they spent all their time farming, they couldn't market or distribute. Mm-hmm. And the chefs had the problem of sourcing and reliability.
Oh.
And so the two of those things seemed to be the opposite. So if you took them and put them together, you put the farm and the market and the restaurant together, that you solved all those problems. And so we went from thinking we'd raise a few animals to let's have a closed-loop, fully integrated food system, which with the main focus of being sustainability. Sustainability for the animals, sustainability for the environment, and healthy, sustainability food for the people.
Wow. So it's not a new concept and all, but we in this modern age of getting more things to the general public and having it available out of season or from far-off countries and stuff, This is a new concept for the general population now that's starting to see these things and all. So this is great that you guys here, number one, you're local. Number two, you're practicing what you're preaching and things like that.
Yeah, correct. I like to say that we're going back to the future. So not too long. I'm getting on the older side. I don't like to think of myself as too old. I'm 51. But when I go back to when I was a kid, it was unusual to see pineapple or mangoes or things that are coming from, you know, from far away. Now it's an expectation that you're going to find those things. And so it's not been that long ago that food was local. And, you know, the idea of getting back to local food is good for the sustainability, but it's also good for the community. I mean, and community is an important part of what we do. So that we'll talk about some of the grains that are organically grown for us, for our animal feed and for our people feed. By Tom Zhang, who's in Ringo's, who's he's 5 miles away. But Tom, as an example, I buy his grains. He shops in my stores. And so that's a community, right? We all tie ourselves together. We spend dollars with him, and he spends dollars with us.
Right, which is a great concept and stuff, and that's how America was built and things like that, a little bartering. But, you know, you've had a trade or a talent or something that somebody else didn't have, and so you would become that person that would do it and all.
Yeah, so part of our organization now, we have a butcher, a baker, and a cheesemaker. And so whenever I tell somebody that, I mean, those are three parts. You know, we can get into the full expanse of what we have in a second. But when I tell somebody that, they always jokingly say, where's the candlestick maker?
Right.
But, you know, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, that was the idea of a community, right? Everybody had their role.
Exactly.
And you bought from the candlestick maker, and he bought from you, and you didn't need the outside world. And, you know, there's a number of reasons why that's important, but in terms of talking about health and our food, if you know where it's coming from, you know that the farmer is accountable, that they're much more focused on getting you what's good for you as opposed to making a dollar. And that is very, very important in terms
of
health.
Very much so. And so one of the key phrases that you bring up all the time is the food you want from the farmer you know.
Correct. I think it's very important to know your farmer. And that's important because you can ask them the questions. Why is wheat or flour with the germ in it important? Why is milk that's non-homogenized important? Why is eating an animal that's grass-fed on the food that it's supposed to be eating important? And if you don't know the farmer's practices and you can't ask the farmer those questions, you really can't fully understand what you're putting into your body. And so it's not so much the farmer you know because you want that personal relationship. It's the farmer you know so that you understand what's going into your body.
Right, exactly. And so often, you know, in our practice, we see a lot of people coming in with food allergies, seasonal allergies, all kinds of rashes, all kinds of inflammation that's going on in the body. The body, of course, was never designed to be, you know, combating all this, you know, high pasteurization, high homogenization, all this shelf life, things that'll last on the shelf for a year and a half without it. Look at, what is it, Twinkies or something? You know, there's no shelf life on that. It's just there all the time.
Yeah.
So how can that possibly be good for you? And here you guys in your program over there and stuff are making it very, very feasible financially and as far as expense-wise, as well as knowing who that person is that's actually making that product and stuff and what's, where it's coming from.
Yeah, and we've gotten into an interesting place with our food where, you know, as we started to consolidate and consolidate it, at the time I think it made sense, and now we've gone so far that it's been consolidated so much that it's become inefficient again. So I've always said as we've gotten into this food journey that if we can supply something at the same price and same convenience, then nobody has to make a choice, right? We can debate whether organic is better for you, but should I pay a 30% premium?
Right.
If you take away that premium and you can produce it at the same price and the same convenience, then there's no argument. Then obviously, why not buy the one that is touted to be better for you?
Exactly.
You know, so I don't think we're quite there yet, but I think there's also a social aspect that goes along with food. And so rather than shop once every 2 weeks, why not shop a couple times a week? There's a real social aspect that goes along with
that. That goes along with it. We're going to take a little commercial break here now, and we'll be right back.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business
out of time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
And we are back at Get Healthy Hunterdon. This is Dr. Miola from Nutrimost of Flemington, Hunterdon County's most experienced healthcare providers. And we are talking with John McConaughey from Brick Farm Groups. And off air, we were talking about all the multiple different facets that you've got coming in here. Animals, and you've got dairy, you've got grain and things like that. And so, John, you've got welcome to the Brick Farm Group, which is made up of the Double Brook Farm, the Brick Farm Market, and the Brick Farm Tavern. So those are kind of easy names to remember and things like that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about those then?
Yeah, and there's one that's missing out of there. So last summer we started the Red Barn Milk Company. So I could run down the list quick of what's involved. So with the idea of a vertically integrated food system, obviously you need a lot of different parts to make that work. And so we have an animal farm. We have a vegetable farm. We have one of two in the country USDA inspected on-farm slaughter.
Oh, okay.
We have a butcher shop. We have a bakery. We have a market. We have a restaurant that is more fine dining. We've got the restaurant, the Red Barn Milk Company, that is ice cream and more casual dining. And behind the tavern, they're tenants because of legal reasons, but there's a brewery and a distillery. So that's the whole family of
that's
things.
Quite an organization and quite a family of things. Now, how do they all fit together under this umbrella then?
Well, so the idea was to be able to produce the food and then have control of the marketing and distribution and have it all sustainable and closed loop, so that we didn't need to bring things in from the outside. And in a perfect world, that's hard to do. But we wanted to get as close as we could. And as we've evolved, we realize what that really means is a closed community. And so we also have a relationship with Hunval, who does our dairy. So that's not under our Brick Farm umbrella.
Okay.
But we consider them to be a partner. Same with our grains, that our grains are grown by Thomas Zhang Family Farms, that is 5 miles from us. And it's milled over at Castle Valley Mill, which is a local mill.
Okay.
And so even though they're not under our corporate umbrella, they are considered to be part of our family. So the market restaurant are focused on serving stuff that is from the community. So our The way that we approach our sourcing, it's from the farm first,
okay,
local second, and then best practices third. So, you know, coffee or chocolate, things that just can't be grown around here.
Right.
What's the best socially when we start to source those things?
Excellent, though. So that's quite a undertaking to do something like that. So does this have some bearing from your background and all, or just your thirst or your love to put it all together and work it?
Well, so one of our catchphrases is, you know, the food you want from the farmer you know. And so the real thought from the beginning was being able to control it so we knew where it came from and mm-hmm. have that accountability. So I will say, coming from a financial background, and I enjoyed 20 years of being in finance. I didn't mm-hmm. leave because I did not enjoy it.
Right.
But it is interesting to see that the decision-making that goes into a day on the farm or a day at the market or a day at the restaurant is not completely different, that every day is a new problem to solve.
Right, okay.
The difference being that at the end of the day, there's something that you can hold and touch and feel that represents what you've done for the day. And, you know, finance lacks that, you
yeah.
know, are you doing a social good by making money? And I don't know. We could probably argue yes or no on that one, but are you doing a social good by providing food that's good for the environment, good for the people, and good for the animals and vegetables? And I would say definitely.
Wow. Why don't we take a little, like a trail through or a little walk through all the programs that you have there and all. So we'll start off at, like, say, the farm where you're growing the grain or the food crops for the animals. Then we'll talk about the animals.
Okay.
Then we'll talk about the processing, possibly, the milk,
right.
The grains, the animal themselves, that delicious ice cream that I had down at the Red Barn Mill Company and all that kind of got us together and all. And let's just see how everything kind of fits together or
sure.
there's that common thread of, you know, what you want to do is provide, you know, the optimum best product for the person at the healthiest components of it and all.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'll let you pick which way you want to start.
Yeah, well, let's start. So it may not come out during this hour, but my real passion, and I think the part that's most broken with our food system is the animal side of things.
Okay.
And so on the farm, we produce everything is born on the farm, raised on the farm, and then harvested on the farm.
Oh, okay.
And all of those parts are important. So when you talk about what's good for us from animal protein, it's about what they eat. It's about how they're treated. It's about how they're harvested. It's about how they're broken down after the harvested. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of different moving parts that go along.
Yeah. Oh, very extensive.
Well, yeah, what makes an animal good for us?
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of focus on the slaughterhouses and humane treatment of the animals in the slaughterhouses. And we've done a few shows on that, and people have reached out to us because our slaughterhouse is so unique.
Oh, okay.
But you know, I think that it's important not to lose sight of the fact that their lives are as important. So confinement farming, where the animal is not considered to be, you know, a living emotional thing,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, we've gotten away from the idea that these are animals. And
right.
so for us, the life of the animal is as important as the harvest of the animal.
So you guys are allowing these animals to roam around in fields and eat grass that's growing and smell the air and things like that and have time and space to run around and kick up their heels, where what most of the grocery stores that we visit and things like that, everything is in these livestock yards and stuff where all the animals are crammed together. They come through with mechanical feeding trays and who knows what they're even getting fed and stuff.
Right.
I mean, so often when things go spoil or reach their expiration date at the grocery stores, there's this guy that comes around, I see, with like what looks like a garbage truck, but it's actually a food truck for all the things that have spoiled. They take it back to their place, they process it, and then you've got these animals eating it. So you guys have taken it a step above and stuff, and I can imagine how much better the food source feels in you know, works from that and all.
Yeah, and it's interesting that if you try to solve one problem, let's say that you are trying to solve what's good for people, so you don't want antibiotics or hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the best way to do that is put an animal in its natural environment. And so that means you put them out on pasture, and if you're a ruminant, you eat grass, and if you're not a ruminant, then you're eating grains that are grown locally.
Right.
And so that is good for us because they're eating the things they're supposed to eat. And so in the case of grass-fed beef and grass-fed lamb, you're getting omega-3s and you're getting things that you don't get from a grain-fed animal. But they're also healthier, so you don't need hormones or you don't need antibiotics.
Right.
And they're on permanent pasture so that the ground becomes a filter, the animals become a fertilizer, and you don't need tractors and you don't need mechanical stuff to turn the soil crops or you know, do things that are not in keeping with nature.
Right.
And so, you know, is it a happier animal that is a healthier animal? I think so. And on the terms of what it means for us too. So animal under a lot of stress, it changes the flavor, it changes the composition of the meat.
Definitely, yeah.
And so as it gets time, when they reach the time of harvest, that all of our animals grow up with the slaughterhouse in sight. And when it's time for harvest, we walk them to the slaughterhouse. A farmer is with them, part of the whole process.
Oh, okay.
And the animals are very social beings. And so I guess the best way I would describe it is if you're taking your dog to the vet, right? When you take your dog to the vet, I don't know very few dogs that don't go into the vet and all of a sudden become super anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is because their smells and senses that go along with animals that they don't know. And so the bigger the group of dogs you take into the vet, the less anxious they become.
Right.
And that's the same with livestock.
That's interesting. Okay.
So pigs are very intelligent animals. So when you bring them with a bunch of pigs that they know, there's very little anxiety. If you put them on the trailer and take them to a slaughterhouse where they're with a bunch of animals they don't know, it raises the stress level.
Oh, sure.
So that is an example that, you know, the big difference between on-farm harvest and taking them to the slaughterhouses, you do away with the stress of putting them on a trailer. You do away with the stress of them being with other animals that they don't know. You
right.
do away with the stress of people that don't know them moving them through a process. And so all of that affects, obviously, the happiness of the animal.
Right.
It also affects the flavor. It also affects what is good for us. And the more the stress, the more the pH of the meat changes. And as I say, if you try to solve the problem of what's better for the animal, you also solve the problem of what's better for the people and better for the environment.
Incredible. Not only are, you know, you're looking at the psychological component of the animal, you know, from birth and all the way through, you know, as far as that socialization going through there and stuff, where they're out there, you know, milling around in fields and things like that, as compared to like a livestock position where, you know, they're crowding into each other, you know, defecating on each other and things like that. You know, this sounds much more, you know, humane, first of all, and stuff. But as far as, you know, getting back to the way things were supposed to be and stuff, you know, we look at what happens when we put humans into like a city environment as compared to out in a country environment and stuff. You know, people out in the country, maybe, you know, they say, oh, you know, you're a little backwards, or, you know, you don't have the skills that, you know, city people have. And all. But are they much happier and things like that and much more well-adjusted as compared to the city where they're constantly under that stress? You know, they may not be eating properly and things like that, sleeping properly. So there's a lot of things going, you know, really well for your view of how to raise these animals and stuff like that. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Oh, and I saw there was just recently an article on what's the happiest communities. And also, you know, there's a direct correlation between what's considered to be a wealthy society and stress and anxiety and depression and suicide. So it's inverse. The lower the income, the more happy the people.
Right. We're going to take a little commercial break, and we'll be right back to Get Healthy Hunterdon. And today is going to be nice showers tonight, Tuesday, we're going to have rain with possibility of a thunderstorm before noon, then showers likely, mainly between noon and 3 p.m. Highs near 59, southeast winds from 7 to 15 miles per hour, becoming west in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation, 100%. So get those umbrellas out and those rubber goulashes out so that you can keep your feet warm and dry. New precipitation amounts between a half to three quarters of an inch possible. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 31 degrees. So get those jackets out again with a gust as high as 20 miles per hour. And we are back with Get Healthy Hunterdon, and this is Dr. Miola from Nutrimost of Hunterdon, Hunterdon County's most experienced healthcare provider. And we are having a very lively conversation, both on and off air, with John McConaughey from Brick Farm Groups, and that's the Farm to Table Operations. Just incredible program that he's got put together for bringing healthy, quality, plant-based whole foods and products to you in a very convenient manner and stuff. So, John, why don't we continue on with what we were talking about off air?
Okay. Yeah. So we were talking a little bit about the scale of the operation, not so much from all the different moving parts, but how much we produce on the farm. And it's amazing to me. Our only outlets are the two restaurants in the market, and we go through 500 pigs, 500 sheep, 15,000 chickens, 5,000 ducks, 1,500 turkeys, 150 steers a year. So it's a fairly impressive number, I think, for the number of the size of the community, and that those are our only outlets. And one of the other things that we were talking about is flavor, that flavor somehow over the discussion of food has been lost along the way, right? We've talked about whether it's cheaper or whether it's better for us, but often flavor is not part of the equation. And so you just took a sip of the milk, which is non-homogenized. Does that take you back to your childhood?
When I was growing up in Cokesbury, I used to work on a farm, the Sutton's farm there, and we used to go over with two empty glass gallon milk containers. Fred would milk the cows, and then we'd pour it through cheesecloth and into the glass containers, bring it back, and this has got the same taste. Incredible how fresh it is, and you know how different it is from the garbage stuff that you actually get in a grocery store that's got a shelf life of, you know, three to 4 weeks there and all. This right. Here, you know, you're going to drink right away and stuff, and you're going to get all that good nutrition out of it and all. And so it's pasteurized, non-homogenized whole milk and all. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the root of this milk and all?
Yeah, so, you know, the dairy farmer that we work with, Jared over at Hunval, that he was looking for a bottling solution. So until we found a bottling solution for the milk, and we can talk about it a little bit later if we have time, the impetus to get into the Red Barn Milk Company over on 31 was to have a place that we can do the creamery. But he was frustrated because all the milk would a truck would come up and take the milk away, and he would spend a lot of time and effort making sure that it had the right butter fat and that the cows were treated right and that the microbe counts were low. Mm-hmm. But he wouldn't get any premium for that. It would go off, and then somebody would come along and say, hey, where can I buy your milk? And he'd say, I don't know. Like, it all gets mixed together and off would go.
Right.
So we finally found a bottling solution for it, and it is the only pure New Jersey milk that you can buy. Everything else is mixed with Pennsylvania milk. And you can taste the flavor difference. Now, that having control over the bottling allows us to do things that we think are important. Now, New Jersey requires pasteurization, but homogenization, in my opinion, has a bigger effect on flavor than pasteurization. And homogenization has nothing to do with health benefits, at least in theory.
Right.
It's all about a chemical breakdown of the cell walls so mm-hmm. that you and I don't have to shake it, so that it's mixed up. You no longer have to shake it so that the cream mixes.
Right.
That's the only reason homogenization came around, was the convenience of not having to shake it. But I think it does have health affects the homogenization because the walls are broken down, so your body is absorbing it differently. And even though it's pasteurized, I can't drink homogenized milk. I thought I was lactose intolerant. As it turns out,
okay.
I'm intolerant to homogenized milk. I drink this. I don't have a problem. I eat the ice cream. I don't have a problem.
So for those of you who think you have a lactose intolerance problem, you definitely want to pay attention to where the locations are so that you can come and sample some of these products and stuff and really prove to yourself that, really perhaps this is not what my problem is.
So I'm now handing you a piece of bread. So this is made from flour that was grown locally and milled locally, and it's milled in the old historic way of milling, which is just using two stones. The germ is still in the flour, so that means it's still a living thing. We've gotten, over the last 30 or 40 years, we've taken out the germ because the germ is what made flour spoil. So as most of us know, you can keep flour on your shelf for a year and there's no problem, but that's because it's not living. So this flour doesn't stay on the shelf for a year. It'll go bad in a month. But it has a different flavor. Oh. So you're getting all the vitamins and nutrients and tastes different.
Incredible. It's like one of those artesian rolls or loaves that you get. It's hard crust on the outside, soft on the inside. It's got a nice brown color to it and a very, very distinctive taste to it and all that you don't get from one-a-day bread or any of that stuff that you would buy in a store that can sit on the shelf for a couple weeks at a time and all.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, and so if you sitting on your shelf for 2 weeks is something that you're after, then this isn't the bread for you.
Right. Oh, boy. This with some of your butter from the cows and things like that, that would go incredibly well.
Thank you. So, so the Red Barn Milk Company, where you initially we made contact because you had to be driving by and saw that it was going up, and so we make the ice cream out of the non-homogenized milk, and one of the tricks with the flour and with the milk is that they're a little different to work with. You know, part of the convenience of what we've gotten to in our food system is that the flour is the same every time, and the milk is the same every time, and the sugar is the same every time, so that when you follow a recipe, it turns out the same. When you're dealing with a local product, depending upon the weather, depending upon the valley, depending upon what the cows are eating, depending upon what time of year is, the recipes might be slightly different. And when we started making the milk with a non-homogenized, or sorry, the ice cream with a non-homogenized milk, it took us a little while to sort of zero in on, you know, how does the recipe react? It's slightly different than what the ice cream maker was used to, and it's been a fun journey to figure it out, and we're still honing in our skills. So if you liked the ice cream last year, I think you'll like it even more this year.
Right. This ice cream was incredible, and as far as the cream that was in it, it was very creamy, smooth, just a whole different taste than that stuff that you get in the grocery store and all. I challenge anybody not to love it when you have your first spoonful, and then you're going to be going for, like, you know, the big cup of it.
Yeah. So in the Red Barn Milk Company was also fitting because we have the protein side of it. So if you go to the Red Barn, you can get a hamburger that's grass fed with a bun that was from the farm, from the grains, with the lettuce and tomato that's grown on site. And, you know, so the ice cream, the hamburgers, the hot dogs, the bratwurst, it's all from the farm. There's maybe a few things out of season that might be on the hot dogs or hamburgers that aren't from the farm, but otherwise everything is local. So it's supporting the community, it's supporting the farmers, it's supporting the employees, but more importantly, it's better for you. It tastes great.
Right. And see, again, this is a very, you know, healthy, easy way for you to get those products in there that don't have a lot of the antibiotics, all the germicide, pesticides, insecticides, hormones and stuff, which, you know, we're starting to get way too carried away with in the food industry with everything. So I challenge anybody not to love this products when you get down there and try them. And there, you've got several other locations, too, that you can get these things from, right?
Yeah, so the market is in the middle of Hopewell, 65 East Broad Street, and the tavern is a mile down the road in Hopewell. The farm sort of surrounds those two. The brewery and distillery are behind the tavern, and slaughterhouse is at the farm. Butcher shop, bakery is at the market, and Red Barn is closer to Flemington, but it's only 5 miles from from the center of Hopewell.
Very, very good. So again, tell us a little bit about the vegetable component of it, or the plant side of the group.
Yeah, so you don't hear me talk too much about that. And part of the reason is that I think as a country, we've done a good job with the plant side. Mm-hmm. And so we initially had a fairly large plant operation. And we sort of decided along the way, within a 10-mile radius, there were a number of very good farms that were doing very good things. Blue Moon Acres, as an example, is where we get our rice. And if you don't know anything about Blue Moon Acres, they are one of the few places in the United States that are growing artisan rice. And rice, as it turns out, and if you have a few hours to spend and you talk to the owner, has become a vehicle for arsenic, except if it's grown correctly. And so it gets back to this idea of knowing your farmer, knowing his practices, and generally, if you talk to them, you'll understand why they do what they do. And in the case of Blue Moon Acres, that's growing rice without arsenic. Our own vegetable operation is seasonal, so we don't try to get through the winters, although we do have some hothouses and things, and we do some greens in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. But we found out pretty early on that, there are other people that do it quite well, and we don't need to spend too much time trying to fix what's not broken.
Right.
And B, that most people, if they're buying from a market, aren't looking for a lot of variety. You know, so our first year, we had 15 varieties of peppers and all these varieties of tomatoes. And mm-hmm. As we found out that our average consumer in the market wants a pepper or wants a tomato, and they're not so concerned with a huge diversity of choice,
right,
that they'd rather know that they're getting fresh, something that's raised in a healthy, organic way, mm-hmm. and not be overwhelmed with choice.
So this allows you to really focus in, instead of having to go so broad and things like that, you can focus in and really produce the best of what you do.
Yeah, and that's, as I say, that initially that was all stuff on the farm, and now it's more that we're focused on the things that we think make the most difference for us as a consumer, you know, what's best for our health. And mm-hmm. so the things that on the edges don't make much of a difference, we don't have to spend a lot of time focused on it. And in terms of growing the vegetables that we found out over the last 5 years what people want, and we don't necessarily have to waste our time on the things that that's not what the consumers want or need. I would say one exception to that is, kale 5 years ago was this, healthy thing that nobody wanted. Now kale is something that has become mainstream. So, evolving with our own tastes and the customer's tastes.
Right. And that's an interesting thing, too. As we find out more from, science and literature and, just development and things like that, things that were food sources or plants or products and stuff that were in at one time, which could have been just like, a fancy passing whimsical type of thing. Now you guys are producing things that are far superior to it, with much better health components of it and all.
Yeah, and it's been a fun part of the journey, figuring out. And we were, before the show, we were mm-hmm. talking about these rabbit holes that we've gone down. Like, all of a sudden, the last one, I think, being the flour, that I just assumed flour is flour. And then we wanted to get the local flour or the local wheat milled, not because we knew that there was health benefits, but because we wanted, to support our local farmer. And, me coming from finance, what do I know about flour? But I go over to the mill, and for the next 2.5 hours, I got an education on how bad our flour had become. So
right.
There are all these parts about our food system that, you know, we have evolved with to say, yeah, wow, maybe we should do that different, or this is not broken, so no need to fix it.
Okay, we're going to take a little commercial break, and we'll be right back with those topics.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we are back at Get Healthy Hunterdon, and we've been having an incredible story unfold in front of us with John McConaughey from Brick Farm Groups about the food you want from the farmer you know and from farm to table operations. Just an incredible journey that he's been putting together and moving in the right directions, both for our local people here in Hunterdon County and the surrounding areas that are also benefiting from it. So, John, why don't you tell us a little about anything that's coming up and as far as in the next couple of weeks or so?
So one of the pieces of the puzzle, which I didn't mention, is the Hopewell Theater. And so there's a theater in Hopewell that used to do live performances for 30 years. They did live performances, and they called it dessert theater.
So you could
sit down and bring your own wine, have dessert, and watch a show. And so somewhere along the way, we were looking for a location to do the creamery, and that was a possibility. And so I started conversations with the owner to see if the building were a possibility for the creamery. And as it turned out, it was not. And actually the location of Red Barn Milk Company will be the creamery. That's why we got involved there.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But we were far enough down the road that we said, well, this will be a good community thing. It'll tie into the restaurants. It'll tie into the market to be able to have a theater in town that supports the arts. So that's been completely redone, and it's now under the control of a group called the Hopewell Theater.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's www.hopewelltheater.com. But I bring it up because on March 8th, we're doing a screening of a documentary a friend of mine did called Farmers for America. And at that screening, we're going to have the Red Barn Milk Company do the dinner. So it'll start at 6. There'll be dinner with all the local products. And then the screening will start at 7:30. We'll watch Farmers for America. And then after that, there'll be a panel of local farmers as well as the director.
Incredible, though. All right.
Talking about what, you know, why farming is important to us.
We'll definitely have to put that on our community calendar then and make sure that we get that out and all. So excellent, though.
Sounds good.
Very, very good. So we've got a few minutes remaining and stuff. How can people find out more about you, the locations of these three or four fine establishments and all, and go from there?
Yeah. So let me start with the pieces that aren't ours. So the Sourland Mountain Spirits, I believe they're www.sourlandmountainspirits.com, is the distillery that's on site, and they use all the local grains and local water and things that we focus on too at the market and the restaurant. Brewery has, and they've gotten some very good kudos, so you can buy it in most of the liquor stores. Under that label. And then Troon Brewery is the brewery that's on site, and he's gotten tremendous accolades. So some sites have them top 25 in the world. And so it's fun to watch all the people come during a release, and it's great to have them. The beer is fantastic, but you can, the name of the brewery is Troon Brewery.
Okay.
And so you can look online for him. And then in terms of our actual operations, we're www.doublebrookfarm.com is the farm website, and it has a blog, so you could sort of watch what's going on and see the latest and the greatest in the farm. Then www.brickfarmmarket.com is the market, and it's located at 65 East Broad Street in Hopewell. The Brick Farm Tavern, www.brickfarmtavern.com, is the restaurant, located in Hopewell, New Jersey as well. That's 130 Hopewell Rocky Hill Road. And then finally, the Red Barn Milk Company. So www.redbarnmilkcompany.com.
So four great locations for four great eating and drinking experiences that will tickle and tangle your taste buds and get you wanting more of this natural plant-based whole food resource now that we have available here in Hunterdon County and in the surrounding area. So this is excellent, though, John. We can't say enough about this and all, and we will definitely be promoting, you know, this because we, in our program and stuff, you know, we're looking for sources like this and all. So we'll definitely be, you know, providing this availability for people and all.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me and making me part of this, and thank you for doing what you do. Like, this is important to get the word out. So I'm it's ecstatic to be part of it, and it was a pleasure being here.
Well, thank you very much. And what we'll do is in the near future and stuff, you have anything that's coming on, you know, definitely give us a call so that we can get you back on and let the radio audience know about that, too. So that's great, though. All right. So we're about finished and out of time and all. We're going to wrap this up. So, again, John, one more final thing. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, through the website, you can get a hold of me. If you want to get a hold of me directly, you're welcome to call me on my cell phone. 908-672-2101.
All right. Excellent. So, again, great show, John, and a lot of good information for the radio audience and stuff. We look forward to finding out and seeing more good things coming from this organization and moving it more to the mainstay of Hunterdon County instead of just on the fringes of it and all. Very good. All right. For Get Healthy Hunterdon, this is Dr. Miola, and we'll see everybody next week.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HuntingChamberRadio.com. That is the voice of Glenn Miller. He is a Grammy Award-winning singer and just received a Grammy last February. He is an alum of North Hunterdon, and he is on the phone with me from Detroit. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Glenn. How are you? Is everybody... Does everybody challenge a basso profundo?
When you just greeted me, everybody kind of pulls their voice down a little bit.
Yeah,
in range.
You have no choice.
They try to. Yeah,
you have no choice. I relate to this very well because I was telling you off air. I'm a trumpet player, and so. I'm going to do this a lot through our discussion today because somehow I believe, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that in the world of trumpet playing, many of us have this desire to play higher, to play the highest note. And I was very good friends with a lot of tuba players and bass trombone players, and that was always about how low can you go.
That way with basses too, you know.
It is.
There you are.
You have a great sense of humor. I saw a bunch of videos and interviews with you, and you seem to take it very, very lightly, and it's very entertaining. So, good morning. Thank you for being on. I've been looking forward to this for as long as you and I have been in contact. When I did contact you via Facebook, congratulations on.
Thank you very much. Yes.
And why don't you give us a quick introduction as to who you are and what you're doing?
Okay, well, my name's Glenn Miller, and I'm not related to the band leader at all. My mom thought it was a cool name.
All right.
When I was born, you know, I understand my older brother's playmate was named Glenn, and that's kind of how it happened.
Okay.
I grew up in Quakertown, New Jersey.
Wow.
On a little dairy farm, and you know, we had cows and chickens and sheep and a very simple but busy life. But I always knew I was going to go into music. You know, I was just kind of
you did.
I don't know.
When did that come to you? What was the first thing that you could remember that told you, yeah, this is where I need to go?
Oh, I was 5 years old, and I remember this vividly. I was homesick from school one day, and it was in the middle of the – it was in the wintertime, and we were getting a piano. And the piano arrived. It was actually for my brother because, you know, my mom, you know, and my parents said, well, everybody should take piano lessons. So we got this piano, and it came, and I was there on the sofa, and it was in the living room, and I went over to the piano, and